morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given us his only begotten Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. as a called and ordained servant of the word, and by the authority of Jesus Christ, I therefore give you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
Also with you. Let
us pray together. Almighty and most merciful God, the protector of all who trust in you, strengthen our faith and give us courage to believe that in your love you will rescue us from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 9. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I make between you and me, and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And when I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from the book of Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel this Sunday is written in the book of Mark, chapter 6. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway very painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. But they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized Jesus and ran about the whole region and began to bring sick people on their beds to wherever they heard Jesus was. And wherever he came, in villages and city, countryside, they laid the sick place people in marketplaces and implored Jesus that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many touched it, were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this day. Our text is the epistle lesson, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with the 14th verse. If I could have our projectionist go to that. And if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible in front of you, it's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and following. Paul writes in that book, "This reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." So far the words of our text. Paul wrote these words from prison, and he was encouraged by the faith of the church at Ephesus and how well they had learned of the teachings of Christ, and how even in their own troubles and trials they too had kept and remained faithful. How many of you are familiar with the ministry that we are part of called iDignity? Okay, well, that's good. That's a few of you, several of you. And one of the things that they do is provide identification for people who have none. And I just kind of amazed at this coincidence of this text and of iDignity in our midst. Without identification, do you realize that you could not open a bank account? I don't think you could even subscribe to the newspaper. And when you start to think about it, you couldn't get a loan. You couldn't rent an apartment or buy a home. You couldn't get a credit card to buy gas or groceries. You couldn't get a driver's license, a passport, or travel, or fly, or even rent a car. There's a lot of things that you and I take for granted because we have an identity. But when we as Christians look at what Paul is telling us, there's a world out there that doesn't really know who they are. And in this American culture today, we start to understand that not even half of the children that are going to be raised in American households will have both their mom and their dad either alive or present in the home to be able to raise them, a mommy and a daddy. Isn't that sad? And when you and I start to see the coincidences of all of that, and yet we see people who are wanting to know who they are and what their identity is, and who don't understand what their plan or why they're here, that they feel as though somehow they're just an accident. What a beautiful message this is for us to understand that we have an identity in Christ. We have an identity, a purpose, and a plan that comes from the Heavenly Father Himself. And we rejoice in that, and we celebrate that we know whose we are, and that our Heavenly Father is the one who has given us and knows us by name. I'm very thankful for the fact that we just a couple weeks ago, maybe three now, found out that we're going to be Grandma and Grandpa again. And so we celebrate that with our youngest, who's, we're celebrating that we start to see from our youngest son, Ethan, and his wife, Claudia. They will be having their second child and our second grandchild. And so thank you, yes, we're very happy about that. But I place that here in this message because that child already being knit together in his or her mother's womb is known by name. By the Father of all fathers, our Heavenly Father. That child is already known all the days of his or her life that are ordained for her or him. And we start to see that God has a plan and a purpose, according to Jeremiah, for each of our children. And so when we start to see the duties and the responsibilities as parents to raise up our children and to love them, we see that we also have a Heavenly Father that in fact and indeed does do that with us. Wow, Paul's words, "I bow on my knees before the Father in heaven, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would now grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his power and his Spirit in the inner man." I know that some of us are going through some real trying times in our lives. Some of it's sickness, the loss of a loved one, perhaps. We're starting to see that as we take this journey of faith together, that there are trials and bumps and bruises along the way of this journey. And we're starting to see and to understand that things sometimes get tough. But it is the strengthening of the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and so that we might understand that we are rooted and grounded, that the winds of worry and the waves of deceit and all that would deceive us and keep us from the kingdom of heaven, nothing can remove us from the grasp of our Heavenly Father's hand. We are rooted and we are grounded in the love of Christ, so much so that we might know the height and the breadth and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. As you and I start to see, next May, we're going to be looking at 100 years of God's grace here in this place. 100 years celebrating God's goodness. Do you think our Heavenly Father knew what this was going to be like and what's in store for the next 100? I think He does. But do you think that our predecessors did? Do you think 100 years ago that Pastor Trapp, when he founded this congregation, knew everything and every deal of everything that was going to happen in this place? No, he didn't. But he had eyes of faith, and so did those who had joined this young ministry with it would burgeon and would begin to grow and reach out into this community and become a birthplace, not only for the Florida Georgia District to gather in its opening services, but also then to be able to see that this congregation would be a mother church to many others. He might have seen that. But I believe that only 10 short years later, church basement and undercroft was built here at 123 East Livingston. And from this place, this building was erected 10 years, about in 1929, 10 years after the congregation started. I start to see that with eyes of faith, the people of faith gathered around what God could do beyond our abilities to imagine or think or ask is what Paul says to the church at Ephesus. That God had a plan and a purpose. And our predecessors didn't have the whole picture, but they had a part of it. They started to see how God was on the move, and then another generation stepped in and started to see we could start a K-8 school and we could start to teach and not only preach, but teach the things of God. As our kindergarten through eighth grade congregation, our school started 66 years ago, God was moving His people to respond to this community, to make disciples in yet another way. And then about 5 years ago, we built this building over here. At our early service, I had the privilege of first time meeting Matt Wheeler, the architect that built this wonderful building over here called the Child Development Center. He and his lovely family worshiped with us, and we were able to share with the congregation then what I share with you now, that with eyes of faith, the people of God built another way to reach out into this community to help families with discipling young children. Today, there's 300 children on a daily basis that attend over here at the Child Development Centers, and their families bring their children. And we're helping those families connect, hopefully with mom and dad, to teach the things of God. And from their home, as well as from this place, we teach them who Jesus is as Lord and as Savior. And at any given day, any day of the week, we will have 500 people, 100 about from the K-8, and approximately over 300 from the Child Development Center, plus our staff. You see, the people of God keep seeing the things of God happen because of the vision God places in their hearts and their minds. And I ask you at this moment, what do you think the next 100 years will look like? I hope and I pray that it's a community that responds to the love of Christ and sees the opportunities because we live in a world that's filled with worries, and we are a wearied world, in fact. Today, people are crying out for help in record proportions. We are an orderly society, yet it seems as we watch the national news a night and day, the local, we seem to be running out of control. Child abuse, spouse abuse, rape, incest, and murder. They're no longer shock or emotional psyche when it comes across the TV or we read of somebody else that simply passed away. I remember when we were in Montana, there was a Paul Harvey show that was on the radio, and they talked about little Poplar, Montana, 2,300 people. It was actually the murder capital of America at that time, per capita. One of the local residents was reading the newspaper at the local diner that day, and I remember him saying, "Well, I see another one that died of natural causes." And his friend Charlie says, "Well, what happened?" "He got knifed," his friend replied. "He got knifed. Natural causes." It had become so commonplace that it was not unordinary to hear about it, to read about it, or to see it, or to know the people that it happened to. And as you and I start to look at it, we are much like what Mother Teresa says. The United States population lives in the worst poverty she's ever seen during her lifetime. It is even worse than that which she saw daily in Bangladesh. The poverty she was speaking of was the poverty of lack of human relationships that meant something. Everyone wants someone to be committed to them, to love them, to stand by them, to commit themselves to that their other one. To no other thing will they be able to turn to other than that maybe one person. But they always can count on that one or that one thing. Statistics tell us that those who are divorced, who are widowed, who are single, who live alone, are 2 to 10 times more likely to suffer illness and even death sooner and more persistently than those who live together with someone whom they love and are loved by. I think you and I start to know the importance of being in those such relationships, because it's about being strengthened in the inner man, as Paul says. A country western song popular several years ago said, "We're looking in love for all the wrong places." Are you looking for love? Someone to accept you, to hold you? Would you like to know that someone's committed to you, to your life, to helping you? If you are my friend, then I believe you've come to the right place, because here at Trinity, we have a value of helping people belong, get connected, to be part of the family. And I want you to know that that doesn't something that we're not perfect at. But I want you to know that in Christ, He is forming us. He is shaping us. He is knowing us by name, telling us that each and every one is important. Each and every one has a place. I used to say, a person in every pew and a place of purpose for every person. As St. Paul was found praying for those he had confirmed in Ephesus in the faith, so I today say to you, with bent knee and bound knee in prayer, that you and I are deriving our identity, our name. We are receiving the message of Christ and His love, of forgiveness with this. And like St. Paul, we're all seeing that God is drawing new people coming to this place. But I would sure like to see it like the Krispy Kreme donut giveaway. You remember that 2 days ago? How many of you saw that or did that? Jaron, you did? You didn't share them with me. Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say. There's lines out the door. Cars couldn't get in. People were standing waiting to get their dollar donuts after they bought the first one. I sure wish it was that way for people lining up to hear the Word of God. finding out what's going on. What are they giving away in there? Block after block, people standing outside wanting to get through these doors just for the express privilege of hopefully finding a goodbye. I cried out as I wished this was the case for the church. People eagerly seeking for eternity, grabbing for God's grace, just wanting another bite, willing to walk even long distances, waiting in lines simply to be fed on God's word, daring to dash even the mud and the drizzle of the day so that their salvation would be secured, understanding that God had placed in their ears the words of eternal life, that God had fed them on his very body and blood in the bread and the wine, and they had been splashed with God's grace in the waters of holy baptism, and were no longer swimming in sin, but seeing the grace of God poured out upon them. People who are eager for eternity. You know, I recall hearing some people talking about, I just don't know. I don't think she could be forgiven for what she's done. I don't think he deserves to be forgiven. But I'm reminded of an Old Testament story of Hosea and Gomer. Hosea was a prophet of God. And Gomer, his unfaithful wife, had left him many a time and had done terrible things, but was always looking for love in, you guessed it, all the wrong places. She had slipped into such a terrible sin, and yet God had constantly told Hosea, go and welcome her back. I'm teaching Israel, the people of Israel, a lesson. Gomer sold herself into slavery of sin and prostitution. Hosea heard that she was being auctioned off, and God told him, go and purchase her. And so Hosea went to the auction block where he saw his wife beaten in terrible condition and all the things that go with that. And he purchased her. And he freed her. And he received her. And he welcomed her back in the arms of marriage because he was commanded by God to do that, so that Israel could see how they'd been welcomed back time and time again. Perhaps you and I have been really looking for love in all the wrong places. We, like Gomer, run to embrace sin, to be enticed by its thrill, or the things we think it will offer us. And instead, what we find is that we find ourselves shamefully submitted to slavery of sin again. The one who we had left, Jesus Christ, is the one who again comes to us, receiving and welcoming us, redeeming us and paying the price as Hosea did for Gomer, buying her off of the auction block, so the bride of Christ, the church, is bought. And with the blood of Christ's cross on Calvary, you and I were bought. We were redeemed. Though we had run to be enticed by the entanglements of sin, we were welcomed back with the open arms of Jesus. As he was nailed to the cross, his hands and his feet were pierced, and his side was later pierced as well. And from the cross, Jesus says to you and to me, he says, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. From the cross, Jesus also welcomed the thief on the cross, who had earlier condemned him, but had then said later, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? He said, Today, you will be with me in paradise. You see, Jesus welcomed. He received all who will confess their sins and believe in his name. He welcomes you. He knows that you and I have fallen short, and yet he welcomes you. He knows that our name is written in the book of everlasting life. He knows that our Heavenly Father has given us his name. He knows us, that Heavenly Father has sent him to save us. Jesus knows that you're his. But for this church, I ask you, what are the next 100 years going to look like? Because with eyes of faith, we look at not only our lifetime, but the lifetime beyond. We look at the people who are coming in, who will take up the slack, who will become the next. And we start to see a rich future, an opportunity that God's work is going to be done in this place. And by God's almighty blessing upon us, the people of God will carry his mission and his ministry forward of going and making disciples, of being strengthened in the inner man, and of also carrying out the work of the Lord to go to make disciples of all people, connecting them to Christ one step at a time, bringing them close to Jesus. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please join me as we confess together our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed give you thanks this day for strengthening us in your holy word, for allowing us to hear that our sins are forgiven, and that we derive our name, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, and your plan for our life because of your rich love for us. May you, O Lord, strengthen us in the inner man to go through the seasons and events and trials and tragedies of our life, yet seeing that your plan and your purpose, that you are always with us. We thank you, O Lord, for this, and in your great name we pray and ask, Lord, be with us in us as a church and as a school, as we continue to reach out into this community to go and to make disciples. Lord, in this day, may you bless also the decisions that will be made by our voters' assembly. May we, with one voice and one heart, be unified in that decision. And may together we boldly reach out with confidence, knowing that your plan, your mission will be carried out. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, also bless this church and school as we together will soon be opening into the fall programs. For school enrollment, may you bless our teachers. Send students as they enroll and bring forth their children. We welcome these new families into our family and ask, O Lord, help us to connect. Help us to connect, be it at church or at school, to serve you boldly together. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers of those gathered this day.
Lord, the congregation lifts the following prayers. We pray for Lance for health concerns. Pray for Dr. Raymond for continued prayers for peace and well-being and health. We pray for Donna for personal issues. We pray for Andrea, safe travel on her birthday today. And we pray for the people in the path of the wildfires in Northern California. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Lord, we now pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, given unto death for you. Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
true faith.
Thank you.
Receive now the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
You know, if you have a moment for silent prayer, we have some announcements. Today is one of those magical weekends of the year. It occurs 3-4 times, the fifth Sunday of the month. We reminded you last weekend to be accepting non-perishable food donations. There's a cart in the back. There might be some over there by the side door, I think. And we appreciate any donations that you have brought. Next announcement, after this service is concluded, there's a special voters meeting. You may notice somebody who's here from LCEF to talk to us about the congregation considering a loan for development from the Campus Development Task Force. It's been talked about. So we hope you have the ability to stay here and exercise your right as members to vote. Next announcement is Trinity is back to school. We're having a campus work day next Saturday, August 4th, from 8 a.m. to 11:30. Lunch will be provided afterwards. So any hands that we can have help to beautify the campus for the start of the next school year, we'll appreciate that. And we'll be moving the library to another room in the building. I'm not sure which yet, because that will become the school office now. And the following day on Sunday, or that evening perhaps as well, I guess we do have Saturday 6 p.m. service still. We will be having a blessing of the backpacks. So any of the students who are attending here at church and going to school here at Trinity or whatever school, bring your backpacks and we will bless them for the coming school year. Another announcement, we are having, Sunday school does begin August 19th, but we'll talk about that in a little bit later. We are also collecting gift cards and supplies for people in Hawaii who have been affected by the volcano. The whole Trinity family is participating in Pastor Mark Zier with Christ Lutheran Church in Hilo, Hawaii, if I'm saying that correctly, will ensure that donations go to needy families and are not siphoned off by other people who are not in need. You can read more about it in the recent blog post on the Trinity website and Facebook. And finally, don't forget about, with the blessing of the backpacks, we will also have dedication of the Trinity staff and faculty, as well as local teachers from other schools who are in the congregation on August 11th and 12th. So if you have a student or your friend in your family or household who's headed back to school, please have them join here in worship. We'd love to have new people hearing the word. And I believe there will be invitation cards in the narthex that you can share with them to help remind them of this upcoming event. Last but not least, probably the best announcement, because I will not be doing it, Julia Malenke is here to tell us a little bit about the upcoming Sunday school plans and needs.
Before I talk about Sunday school, I need to put a little bit of an addendum to the Hawaii announcement. Miss Stacy Carroll, who teaches over in the CDC, is the spearhead for the Hawaii Project. And there will be little children out here selling lemonade for the Hawaii Project if you happen to be thirsty before the voters' meeting. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Julia Malenke. My husband and I moved here 7 years ago when I received a call to teach at Trinity Lutheran School. Presently, I serve as the CDC music teacher with 250 of the most adorable students you can imagine. I also serve on pastoral ministry team in the areas of family and children's ministry and touching a little bit on youth. We have some amazing plans that have been prayerfully and hopefully put together for our youth, from tiny four-year-olds all the way up through high school. We have a wonderful Sunday school program starting in about 2.5 or 3 weeks from today. It's going to be talking about discipleship. Our middle school and high school will have a really refreshing The Story, which is an overview of the Bible, which they'll be able to participate in. We have family-centered confirmation that will be starting, and also for those of you who just were confirmed all the way through high school, Jen Blackwood and Crystal Jones are putting together all the plans to take the youth to the National Youth Gathering, which will be in Minneapolis next summer. These are fabulous plans. These are so exciting. You know, personally for me, I remember the first time I stepped in Sunday school at the age of 10, I fell in love with Jesus. And it has meant everything to me to pass that along to children. And as a church, the Lutheran Church values that. As a matter of fact, our church came up with four core values in all of our cottage meetings, and one of them was education. And so I come to you now saying these beautiful plans I've just told you about may not come to fruition unless we have the help of our dedicated volunteers, which is are among you. We have to have more teachers. We have a tiny little staff of teachers who've been teaching Sunday school and confirmation and other things for years, and we need more teachers. If we had more teachers, we could have people could take Sundays off, the children would have more influence of other Christians in their life teaching them. Also, there are 163 and 4-year-olds that go to school over here. I cannot invite them to Sunday school because I don't have teachers to teach them. If I did, I could, and that's a dream. So if teaching isn't your wheelhouse, you can support in other ways, and we'll let you know what some of those are. But I'm prayerfully seeking that it is, because I don't want to come back to you in 3 weeks and say, please forgive us, we will not be having Sunday school. Because that could happen. So with no guilt intended, just please pray. Please think about if you could be part of that. You can pray. You can support it in other ways. Confirmation is going to need meals brought every Sunday. That might be a way. But also we are, again, looking for people who want to share their faith. And we have great curriculum. It's easy. We'll train you. So thank you for giving me this time. And see me. I'm over in the office if you are interested at all or you want more information.
Julia, before you take off, met a young man who's been away for a while, but he's coming back, and he and his wife are going to be coming, and he said, I also would like to help teach. So I wanted to make sure you already have somebody that stepped up.
That's wonderful.
And so thanks. That's as easy it is, just stepping up and saying, I do. Count me in. So thank you. We'd like to ask the congregation if you would be so obliged if we can close with our final hymn. Ted, I'm just asking for this, if this is okay. Would it be okay if we asked anybody that was going to be not staying for this flight and they're exiting here in Orlando from Trinity to leave to go home or eat? But for those who have a connecting voters meeting, like the Southwest flight, we're going to ask you to just sit in the seats, and then we can get started a little sooner. Is that okay with you, Ted? Good. Thumbs up. The captain has just told us. Yes. What's that? Oh, I didn't. Yes, that's right. You can go down and get some lemonade. That would be also good, but get back as soon as you can. Let's stand and close with the final hymn.